Welcome to Missionary Talks, where we talk with missionaries and learn about their lives and work.
In this episode and the next, I'll be speaking with Roy Seals. He's a missionary working in a unique ministry. Though he has responsibilities as a director of a mission board, his main ministry is to help facilitate churches in taking trips to the mission field. That's mainly what I wanted to speak with Brother Seals about, but before we got there, we had a great conversation about children on the mission field and how parents might have some fears going to the mission field. He gave some counsel on how to deal with some of those things. So I've broken this up into two parts. To start with, this first half of the interview is when we talk about the family relationships and such, and so I think you'll certainly enjoy this. And then the next episode will be talking specifically about taking groups to the field. To start this half of the interview, I asked Brother Seals to tell us a little bit about himself, his family, and his ministry.
Sure. I had the privilege of growing up on the mission field. My dad, Otis Seals, and my mom, Betty Seals, came to the mission field in 1965. I was 9 years old. My brother was seven, and my sister was 1 year old. And at that moment, when we crossed the border of the United States of America into Mexico, and it took us 12 days to drive through Mexico, Guatemala, El Salvador, Honduras, Nicaragua, and ultimately into Costa Rica all the way to San Jose, I thought we were on the adventure of a lifetime. And I thought for sure they would put our names alongside Kit Carson, Christopher Columbus, as the great explorers of the world. We were discovering new lands. And my enthusiasm for missions never has waned. I hope I've matured a little bit over the years, and the way I view missions is maybe a little more mature, but it's still an adventure to me. I love missions, and spent some wonderful years growing up in Latin America. I went back to the United States when I was 18 to go to Bible college, but couldn't get Latin America out of my mind or my heart. I was married, and my wife and I came back to the mission field when we were 22. We both celebrated our 23rd birthdays back on the field. We have children that were born here on the field, and I think the fact that both my wife and I are second-generation missionaries, I think that was a benefit to us, it helped us, and I wouldn't trade anything for it. I love missions.
Now, you're living now in the Chattanooga area. What took you back to the States?
Well, we are living back in the States now, and I will always have to say that to me as a missionary, the exciting place to live is on the field because that's where the action is. But years ago, we went back to the United States to work in missions administration, and there's always a need for somebody to be involved in mission administration. Somebody has to do that part of the work. As a young missionary, my perspective of people involved in mission administration was that they were old fogies that couldn't handle the pressures on the field, and if you couldn't handle anything else, you worked out of the home office. But my perspective of that has changed, obviously. And so we're back in the United States in the Chattanooga area. From there, I'm able to travel to the mission field several times a year. This is my fifth trip overseas this year in 2007. I'm also able to travel to many locations in the United States of America, speaking in churches and mission conferences or Bible colleges and schools promoting missions.
You came to the field when you were nine. Did you feel like you had any struggles learning the language?
Well, when I teach lessons on cultural adaptation, one of the things that is evident as we talk about cultural adaptation is the younger you are, the easier it is to adapt, and the older you are, the more difficult it is to adapt to a foreign culture. Likewise, the younger you are, the easier it is to learn a language, and the older you are, the harder it is. So as a nine-year-old, learning the language came a little easier because your mind is younger, you're a little more flexible. At the age of nine, I felt like I was old enough to be aware of what we were doing, but I was young enough to ignore the difficulty. So to me, it was just a lot of fun. And we went to Costa Rica. My parents were in language school there in San Jose, Costa Rica, an excellent language school for missionaries to Latin America. We'd been there a total of 3 days when my dad took me and my brother. We walked out of our house we were renting in San Jose, walked down the street about three blocks into a public school. My dad wrote our names down on a piece of paper, gave them to the receptionist because she did not speak English. Nobody in the school spoke English. Gave them our names, turned around, looked at us, said, "Boys, you're in school now. I'll pick you up when school's out today." And he turned around and left. And there was not one person in that school in 1965 that could speak English. We'd been there a total of 3 days, so we didn't know Spanish yet. But it was a great way to learn the language. It was hard initially. You better believe it was. And my grades were nothing to brag about. In fact, my grades never have been anything to brag about. But we began to go to school, and it forced me to learn the language very quickly. I think it was also good because it helped me to learn things about their culture very quickly. I was immediately thrown into the arena of a different culture, a different environment. And years later, I can use those experiences as I help other missionaries now, who are mostly adults, learning how to deal with the challenges of a foreign culture. So once again, at the age of 9, it was a lot of fun. And I do understand that when you're in your 20s, 30s, 40s, and even in your 50s, when you go to the mission field as an adult, it's a little more challenging. My wife is also a second-generation missionary, but she used to tell me when she was in language school, she said, I wish God would send you to China for 1 year so you would be faced with a culture and a language you didn't know as a child, so you'd understand the difficulties of adapting to that as an adult. But God hasn't sent me to China yet to live there.
Where's your wife from?
My wife is from South Carolina, and her father was a livestock farmer for many years. And at the age of 39, he went to the mission field. And my wife, at the age of 12, went with her family to the field and grew up on an island in the Caribbean. So she knew what it was to grow up on the mission field, but it was an island where English was spoken. It was a British colony. And so when we went to the mission field at the age of 22, she did go to language school and learn the language, and she does very well.
I have a 9-year-old son. He doesn't really see the big differences in the culture of the U.S. and Mexico because he's been here since he was 6. Did you see a lot of cultural differences, and was it a struggle for you as a child?
Well, as a child, you notice some differences. You just don't know how to put a name tag on it or how to define it. For example, when we went to Latin America, drove through Mexico and Guatemala and El Salvador, Honduras, Nicaragua, and all those countries, I noticed differences in food. That's one of the things everybody notices when you go to a foreign culture. Even tourists will notice that. Food adaptation is interesting. A lot of it is good, and we enjoy that part. And then sometimes we find food that's so different that we don't like it, and that becomes a distasteful part, pardon the pun, of cultural adaptation. But for the most part, observing the differences in food is fun, especially when you're young, because you can adapt to anything. But I noticed, for example, when we came to Latin America, there were a lot of beggars, and I had never seen that in the United States of America. You noticed at that particular time the sharp differences in the social classes. You know, once again, as your son, you don't know the name tag to put on all that at the time, but you do notice them, and it begins to sink in. For the missionary child growing up on the field, I'll tell you, one of the biggest challenges they face is not coming to the mission field when they're 6 or 8 or 9 or 10. The biggest challenge they face after growing up on the field is going back to the U.S. at the age of 18, go to college, and all of a sudden we have what we call reverse culture shock and reverse cultural adaptation. And that is probably the bigger challenge for missionary kids, going back to the U.S., and living in the culture that at one point was their mother culture, but that was a long time ago. And now they've got to adapt all over again. And your son growing up, he'll face that challenge one day, but it's a few years down the road.
What would you say to a parent that has a 10-year-old son or 15-year-old daughter that's looking at going to the field for the first time? What would you tell them to help them along with the transition for their children?
Well, to begin with, if God is calling, then God will also enable the family to adapt. And I believe with all my heart that when a man with a family feels called to go to the mission field, God's sending the entire family. And the older the children are, obviously, it's a lot more challenging and difficult for them to adapt. I was 9. That was very easy. Your son was 6. That's very easy. Once you begin to get into the teenage years, the challenge is a teenager needs those roots. And his friends, his school, his church, all the things that gave him a sense of security in the States sometimes are uprooted. And so it is true that it's far more difficult for a missionary to come to the mission field when he has teenage children. Once again, if God indeed is leading, he will provide the emotional help we need so that we can all deal with this. But what I would say to the parents is that do not become overprotective of your children. Many times we take our children, our family, to a foreign culture. There's differences in hygiene. There are differences in customs, the different values and taboos of another country or and another culture are so different that sometimes we will overprotect the children, keep them within the walls of our house or missionary compound, and don't let them out very much. And that will not be a healthy environment. Young people need to develop socially also. They need friends. So do not overprotect. Number two, I would tell the missionary parent, don't be making constant comparisons with the United States of America. For example, boy, kids, out here in this village, we haven't had a hamburger in 6 months, but if we were in the States, McDonald's is right down the road. Don't make those unnecessary comparisons because that does not help the child. And usually, whatever the emotional mindset or the mindset of the parents is, the children will pick up on that. So if a parent, even just one of them, has a negative attitude about living in a foreign culture, eventually the kids pick up on it. Emphasize the positive aspects of cultural adaptation. My dad was an expert in that. He never talked about what we didn't have. And there was a lot of things we didn't have down here. I mean, they didn't have the fast food, and they didn't have a lot of the things we have here now. But my dad would always do things like, wow, kids, they don't have this in the United States. For example, when we got to Yucatan, he didn't buy us a bed. He bought us hammocks. And I remember when my dad walked in and we thought, where's our beds? What are we going to sleep in? He said, guys, you get to sleep in hammocks. You're not going to sleep in beds. He said, you tell me how many kids in the United States of America sleep in hammocks. My brother and I looked at each other and thought, wow, we're special people. I didn't know then that it was because he didn't have enough money to buy us beds, but he didn't emphasize the fact that we had just a few dollars. He emphasized the adventure side. Wow, this is neat. And so I would say that to a missionary parent. Make positive comparisons. Don't make negative comparisons. And you don't even have to make comparisons. Just emphasize the positive things of this culture. And I would say to every culture we go to, and it may be more difficult in some than in others, but there's always a positive that we can emphasize.
That's where we'll leave off for this episode. The next episode will begin with me turning the conversation more to talking about how to get groups to the field and how he can help your church take a group to the field.
You've been listening to Missionary Talks with David Peach. Please visit us at missionarytalks.com.